This is KLOILP, Lopez Island, Washington, 102.9 FM. And we have in the studio today, as part of our ongoing election coverage, Richard Ward. And Richard Ward is a member of the Committee for Stability in Government. And this is a committee that represents the spectrum of political viewpoints in San Juan County. And I'm going to read off who's on the committee, and then I'm going to let Richard tell us what this committee is about. Let's see. John Evans, Lisa Byers, Gordy Peterson, Richard Ward, Bob Gamble, Tom Cowan, Ralph Gutschmidt, Louise Dustrud, Larry Handel, Rhea Miller, Jim Stegall, Bob Meyer, and Bill Apple. And my apologies. Oh, and Kevin Ranker. Gosh, can't leave him out. And my apologies for if I've not read your name appropriately. So Richard, I'd like to get a little background for you as a member of this committee. And I know you also were a member of the recent Charter Review Committee. But how long have you lived on Lopez?
I've been here for 38 years.
38 years. And you did serve on, what are some of the other things you've done while you, in the 38 years you've been here?
Well, I've often worked in political campaigns to one degree or another, but I was also on the Planning Commission in the late 70s, early 80s, and just generally follow county government, try to know the people who are making decisions. I've felt that historically the county has been very open to citizen involvement and communication. At least it was until we adopted the charter in 2005, when things changed pretty dramatically for many of us.
Okay, let's start right there, Richard. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what was the transition there?
The transition was from what we had as a so-called code county, meaning one that conforms to the requirements of the state constitution. That's a county with three commissioners, and in our case, they had to be elected county-wide because we can't create three equal-sized districts in a county of islands. So we operated that way for a number of years, and then in 2004, a group of people decided that we really ought to look at being a charter county, a so-called home rule county. There are advantages to being a home rule county. You can change your charter from time to time. You can have the opportunity to have initiative and referendum, and a number of other features that would not be available to us under the state constitution. The people that promoted this had, I think, a variety of viewpoints, but there was a particularly strong move towards this by some people in Friday Harbor involved in the legal and business community. They put on the ballot a county rule initiative that would create a freeholders commission or freeholders committee, and then we elected freeholders, and the freeholders met for about 9 months and placed on the ballot in 2005 a charter. The charter was to some extent modeled after the charter for Whatcom County. This charter differed very strongly from what we were used to in that the charter created six council districts instead of three, and required that the districts elect their council persons only within that district, with no more countywide voting. I could talk more at length about what that did, if you'd like, the effect of that.
Sure. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, some citizens felt that this system gave them less power because they couldn't vote for all of the council anymore, as they used to. They could vote for only one person. And that was frustrating. And this came to a head here on Lopez with the Whatmo project, the Whatmo Road project, where we had a vote that was unsatisfactory to us, but we had no influence over the people who voted to push that forward.
And that was an issue that only affected Lopez Island.
That's correct.
No one else was affected.
But other people whom we interviewed as the Charter Review Commission later said that they were very frustrated. One could go to one's representative, and the representative would say, well, I can't do anything about that. And the reason for that is another feature of the charter, which was to create a county administrator who was given all of the administrative authority of the county. Well, formerly, under the commission system, the commissioners had the administrative authority, and they do in almost all counties in Washington. So the ball got passed back and forth. Somebody would have a complaint. The local council person would say, I can't do anything, or the council person would try to do something and be thwarted. It wasn't a system that produced clarity and coherence in government in the view of many on the Charter Review Commission.
Well, and I have to say, the radio station almost didn't complete their getting a voice on the air by the time we were mandated to by the FCC for that very reason. And while Bob Meyer, who was then our commissioner, did everything he could, and I know he did, it was true. He really didn't have the authority, and nothing happened for months and months and months. But finally, it got broken through and resolved. But, I mean, we were like 2 months away from a deadline that we'd worked 24 months toward. Anyway, that's a little personal story about why you're listening to this radio right now.
That's right. Well, the charter that was enacted in 2005 required that there be a charter review commission in 5 years to look over what had been done and make recommendations for change. An election was held in 2005, in 2011, an election was held to create a Charter Review Commission of 21 persons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They represent all the districts in the county somewhat equitably. And I was encouraged to run for one of those positions. We began working in January of 2012. And it became very clear at the beginning that almost all of those elected people were unhappy with the district system. Mm-hmm. They wanted to go back to countywide voting. They also made it clear that they did not like the idea of a council of six. They felt that a council of three would be far more efficient in working together.
And they would work full-time. That was another change.
Very important that they would be full-time for a number of reasons. You want to be able to demand a lot from these people, and you're going to give them administrative authority again by making the county administrator into a county manager working under the council.
Right.
And there were other requirements that we put in. For example, that the meetings all be public. Under the Council of Six, a committee of three could meet in private, mm-hmm, and make decisions and go to the full council, and all they needed was one more vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we're told by Jack Corey of The Guardian that fourth vote was often acquired in the hallway with a little discussion. This isn't an open democracy. And when we were proposing complete transparency for the council, there was a lot of resistance from council members, especially Rich Peterson. They felt that they wanted to be able to thrash things out in private, and even said, I like to lose my temper sometimes, and I don't want to have that public. So this arrangement was part of what the Charter Review Commission recommended for the ballot for 2012. There were three items: to go back to three council persons and to have them elected countywide. Secondly, to make the administration work for the council and not be independent and elected by no one.
The other thing. It's important to reckon from the very beginning that there was never anyone elected for that county executive position.
And the third item, of course, is the transparency, that all meetings, even of subcommittees, have to be public. The public has to be informed that it's happening, and they must be able to attend.
Yeah. Well, I'm really surprised that prevailed for so long without more questions about it.
Well, we found that with an elected Charter Review Commission of 21 people, practically all of them were questioning it throughout those years, that how can you have a lack of accountability for the council? The council was accountable only to each council person was accountable only to the person in his or her district.
Yeah.
And also, those districts were fairly small. Patty Miller was elected. She's a very conscientious person. I'm not denigrating her service, but she was elected without opposition.
Yeah, right. At first, really, what turned out to be a very significant position. I mean, not just hers. They all were. They all had power. And for the community to understand how that power was being utilized, the open government and transparency is really essential. I mean, there's no other way to do it. We're seeing that on the national level. We're seeing it everywhere. And we just need to return to good practice. How long did the Charter Review Committee meet then?
We met every Saturday all day for 5 months.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. That was a lot of time.
And that was much more frequent than we met more frequently than the freeholders did.
Mm-hmm.
We determined at our first meeting that we were going to have a deadline early in June. We also, as we worked, kept a lot of notes, and we listened to many, many people in the county, including former elected officials and some who were from outside the county. We wanted to have findings, and we published some detailed findings that support every recommendation we made in detail.
Mm-hmm.
The freeholders had no findings.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know why they recommended the things that they did.
Right.
We also retained in the charter what the freeholders had first put into the charter, at the recommendation, by the way, of our own Madrona Murphy. And that is a prohibition against changing districts by initiative.
Right.
The right of initiative exists in our charter, and appropriately so. But this was an area that had to be reserved as a kind of protection. Because in a county where you have islands of very differing populations, having an initiative to change districts could result in gerrymandering.
Yeah. And we certainly see results of that on the national level now.
Yeah, we do. And we felt that a change in districts should occur only at the recommendation of a charter review commission that's elected by the whole county and then approved by all the voters in the county. So we didn't even debate that issue because it was already in the charter from 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a healthy thing to have in the charter.
That makes sense. And so that brings us up to today. Everything is context. So we're trying to give you a map and a landscape of how we got to where we are today. And so now there is a proposition on the ballot. And could you talk a little bit about what that will do?
Well, the proposition essentially removes the prohibition against changing districts by initiative.
Mm-hmm. That's its primary.
That is its only purpose.
And there's a little bit of history to how they've gone that has happened too, because there was another attempt that, go ahead and you tell the story.
Well,
not even a story.
You have to understand that we had a council of six until May 7th of this year. That council was made up mostly of people who had campaigned against the charter changes in 2012. They did not want to go to a smaller council, and they did not want countywide voting. They even opposed changing the administrator's function in relation to the council.
Do you happen to remember what the vote was on that in 2012?
In 2012, these items passed by almost 55%.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The council, however, that was functioning up until May,
they were
five of those six people were strongly opposed to those reforms. And moreover, two of them, Mark Forlenza and Richard Peterson, were parties to a lawsuit against the county to overturn the 2012 vote. That was a well-financed lawsuit, and it failed.
Where did it go? Went to the county?
It went to a superior court in Skagit. It was appealed to the state appeals court that passed it up to the state Supreme Court, which passed it back to them.
Yeah.
So essentially, the argument used by the judge from Skagit County affirmed everything that Gaylord, or just about everything Gaylord had said, was wrong with the lawsuit. And Gaylord is our prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
In other words, the courts affirmed the legality of the changes of 2012.
Right. And the charter review recommendation and the vote of the people.
Yes. Now, what happens next? There's a certain disgruntlement in this council that was going to serve until the new charter arrangements took place.
So it's sort of a lame duck council.
Lame duck council. And in March, the lame duck council came up with a proposal proposed by Peterson and Forlenza to put on the ballot a return to a larger council. I call it reinflating the council, this time to five persons, and to eliminate countywide voting. That's the most significant part of this.
Yeah.
Now, they voted on this on March 26th in council. The vote, a majority of the council at that time voted to put this on the ballot. And of course, it would go on the ballot in a low turnout off your election, and anything can happen with that. Then the county prosecutor explained to the council that they couldn't do this because there's a prohibition in the charter against changing districts by
initiative.
Mm-hmm. Did they
not know that?
I don't know what they didn't know, but they I think Patty Miller didn't know it, but I can't really say that.
Yeah, I understand. It's just a curious.
The prosecutor said you can't do this.
Right.
So, next meeting. The next meeting is April 9th. They're running out of time. So they vote on another issue, which is now Proposition 1. And it was understood by those who followed these discussions that this was a fallback position that would give them step one of two steps.
Yeah.
If you wanted to achieve what they tried to do on March 26th, you had first to change the charter to allow a change of districts by initiative. And so Proposition 1 began moving through the council process, which requires three touches or three votes. And on May 7th, at their last meeting, the council gave a final vote to putting Proposition 1 on the ballot.
And that's where it stands today.
That's what we're voting on now.
You've got your ballot in the mail, and you've got till November 2nd, I think. Is that correct? November 6th is Sunday. So, anyway,
I think it's the 4th, maybe.
But yeah, I think it is the 4th, because it's the first Tuesday in November. Yeah. to fill out your ballot. So let's see, there were a couple of things I wanted to go back to there. I can't say this enough. This is kind of like a history lesson, but history is the context in which current events emerge. And the current event is that right now there's this proposition, Proposition 1 on the ballot, and the history of it lies, it's interesting because it's so easy to have different perspectives on what home rule means and what, because I'm sure that, go ahead, Richard.
Well, I can characterize for you with some accuracy the way in which Proposition 1 is being sold. Mm-hmm. It's being sold out of context.
Right.
We're being told, if you look at your voter's pamphlet and at the article by Steve Worley that appeared in our local paper and the other papers after interviews with Bill Apple, who's opposed to Prop 1, and with Richard Frelick, who is in favor of Prop 1, it's being represented as just a matter of clarifying the charter, that right. The charter was ambiguous because it gave you the right to initiative, but then there was this other section that said you couldn't use initiatives for changing districts.
Yeah.
Well, I find that disingenuous. Yeah. It's explicit. It's not ambiguous.
Right.
And they didn't like it, and that's why they put this thing on the ballot. Another thing that is being said is that, and Frelick says this, you can see it in the latest edition of our newspaper. Frelick says that we're trying to return this right to the people. The people never had such a right. They didn't have it in the charter that he himself considers himself the author of in 2005. It's and in the 140-year history of this county, we've never had the right to change districts by initiative or any initiative at all for most of that time. So we're not being, something isn't being restored to us that we used to have.
Right. This is a big change.
This is a big change, or it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
We're concerned in our committee that in a low turnout off your election, you could see big changes in the county, and then maybe 2 years later, a counter effort to undo those changes because you now have an easy way to get things on the ballot.
Yeah.
Now, this is being represented, by the way, as a way of giving the public more power. Actually, if they get away with what they want to do, they'll get the second proposition on the ballot, and they'll put something on there that will be council districts again, reinflate the council, and take away our right to vote for all of the council. That's less power, not more.
Right.
Moreover, we now have in this county Trust Islanders. This is a PAC. And they spent $24,750 this spring supporting candidates that opposed countywide voting.
Wow.
We know where they're coming from, and they now have money. Now imagine if something were on the ballot that would return the county to such as we had before. We could have a kind of a tennis match over the years of changing council districts. Consider also that, frankly, from the standpoint of Lopez, we would have almost no voice in such a vote.
Right.
Because half the votes are on San Juan Island.
Right.
So it takes away a protection that we value here.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was a little surprised I was at the candidates forum. And I was a little surprised. I don't recall the woman's name. She gave a very cogent presentation. And then one of the questions was, well, isn't this likely to kind of change, provide some instability to the government ongoing when these new initiatives can be so quickly and, well, maybe not quickly, but easily voted on. And she said, that's not going to happen. That I don't see that's going to happen.
That's Moana Kuchi. I consider her a friend. Yeah. She served on the CRC. Moana is echoing what her two colleagues who helped write the pro statement in the voters pamphlet are saying, that, oh, this is nothing to worry about.
Let's
go back to this spring, April 9th. Let's go back to March 26th. The council voted for exactly what could happen were we to take away the protections offered. And so I respect Moana, but I don't agree with her.
Yeah, and the part I didn't understand, and I certainly didn't ask the question, but then why put it forward if there's no purpose in it?
Exactly, and this is the point. Yeah. That, you can take the view and dance around it as such. You can say, oh, well, this has nothing to do with the move that the council made on March 26th. This is the move we made on April 9th, 2 weeks later at the next meeting, and it has no context. This is only to clarify the charter, and it's to give back to the people a power that they used to have.
Right.
Well, the charter is very clear. It's explicit. And secondly, we never had this right to begin with.
Yeah. It's really an amazing time right now where do your homework. That's what I can say. Do your homework. KLOI actually has a number of election issues archived on our station that is, you can go to by KLOI.org, KLOI Lopez, Washington. You can just say Lopez Community Radio. Almost anything will get you to our website. On that website, we do have, in full context, the League of Women Voters Forum. And it's broken down. When you look at the website, it's broken down. So you can, if you just want to hear that dialogue between Richard and
Moana.
Moana, you can do that. Just go KLOI.org, archive Richard and Moana. It's probably got their whole names. And you'll hear that. It's short. You'll hear their presentations. You'll hear the question and answers. So please do your homework. If you have any questions, how would they get hold of you, Richard, if our listeners have any questions? Email or what do you want?
Well, we have emailed to a great number of people.
Mm-hmm.
Our statement of why we think Proposition 1 should be rejected. I am getting a lot of emails so I don't really want more of them right now.
No, I understand.
This morning I mailed 11,000 cards.
Great. That's a yes.
To every box holder in the county is going to get a card from our committee.
Yeah.
And it's going to lay out very briefly why we think this is a bad idea, that it puts in danger our right to vote for all of the council. It has that potential. And we think that it was clear that that was the intention from the beginning. So we're doing that much. We're encouraging people to write letters.
That's great. So pay attention to that when you get it. And talk to your friends and neighbors. Lopez Rocks, is there any postings on there at all? Or?
Well, I've been encouraged to post the statement that you have here that was an email, but I feel I first have to consult with the other people on the committee before I would do that. And I would do it in their name because it is coming from those people.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. So that still may be coming. This interview will also be archived. It won't be archived. It's not archived now, obviously. But Richard, thank you so much for being in our studio today. I always enjoy the clarity and the historical perspective you bring. I know you were a school teacher for a long time in a district down Sound a bit. Where was that?
I was in Bellevue and then later in the Snoqualmie Valley.
Yeah. So, and you certainly bring that, I know you didn't teach history, you taught English, but you certainly bring that perspective of context and a language that's accessible and perspectives that lay out a map so you can kind of see where we've been, where we are, and what might happen if this proposal passes. So thanks again for being with us, and have a great rest of the day. And this is Carol Steckler signing off for KLOI.